This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
That cheap deal for a car on Facebook Marketplace might seem like a bargain until the seller disappears and your money goes with them. Also, you might have noticed that your car insurance bill made you wince this year, and you're not alone. Premiums are climbing and excesses are creeping up.
Settling in a new city can raise lots of questions. How does the bus service work? Can I join the local library? Where do I go to get advice on renting a home? Over the next half hour, the team from Citizens Advice Bureau bring you all the latest news and information of special interest to new migrants settling in Dunedin. Welcome to Resettling in Aotearoa with Citizens Advice Bureau.
Kia ora, no mai anō. Welcome back to Citizens Advice Bureau or Te Pōti Dunedin's monthly Resettling in Aotearoa show. Thanks for joining us again. Ko Anna Aho, I'm the manager at Citizens Advice Bureau here in Dunedin. So tonight we're talking about buying a car privately and how to protect yourself. And then we're going to look at options you might have to cut the cost of insurance, but making sure you're still covered. So when buying privately, you're not protected by the Consumer Guarantees Act or the Fair Trading Act. But there are some simple things you can do before you buy privately, and these will reduce your risk if you're thinking about buying a used car in a private sale. First of which is to always check the vehicle is not subject to a safety-related recall or the Takate Alpha airbag recall, which you might remember a few years ago affected many, many vehicles. So you want to be sure that the vehicle you're interested in buying does not have any unaddressed safety recalls or has not suffered water damage. You can go to the Waka Kotahi website, NZTA, and they have a page, Recalls and Damaged Vehicles, where you can read specifically about the Takata airbag recall, but also you can read about other safety-related recalls, and that's nzta.govt.nz. Water-damaged or ridden-off vehicles are also important to check for, which, again, you can do on the Waka Kotahi website. It covers damaged used imports, Australian imports, vehicles damaged in New Zealand, and there's also a damaged vehicles list, which would be damaged that hasn't been correctly repaired. So the second thing you can do is to check the vehicle has a current warrant of fitness. Vehicles for sale must have a warrant which is less than a month old unless they are being sold as-is wearers. So when a private seller uses the term as-is wearers, it usually means they will not confirm whether the car is in working condition or what hidden faults it might have, and that the buyer will be responsible for moving the car after they have bought it. If someone is selling a vehicle that has no warrant of fitness, they must advertise it as is wearers. If you're thinking of buying or bidding on a car being sold privately as is wearers, it is a good idea to have it checked thoroughly, so you know what problems it might have. Thirdly, check the vehicle registration is up to date. That's the vehicle licensing document, and check it is current. If the vehicle does not have a current license, it is an offence to drive it on the road. Also check whether the vehicle is stolen or has any money owing on it. If you buy a car that is stolen or has money owing, you could lose the car and not be able to get your money back. So how do you find out whether a car for sale has money owing on it? Well, you can check what's called the Personal Property Securities Register, the PPSR. So that's online, ppsr.companiesoffice.govt.nz. So to use that PPSR, you will need to set up an account, and there's step-by-step instructions on that website, and you also need to have a RealMe login. So once you have that PPSR account, you'll be able to search any vehicle as long as you know the registration number and the VIN number, VIN number, or the chassis number. and check whether there is any security interest registered over the vehicle. And that service costs about around $2 by direct debit or a credit card for each vehicle you check. So what can happen if you buy a car with money owing on it? Well, it's not wise, obviously, to buy a second-hand vehicle that has money owing on it, because it means that the person selling the vehicle owes money to a creditor, like it could be a finance company. The creditor can repossess the vehicle even if it's been sold on to someone else, i.e. you. But so if you were to buy the vehicle, you would be effectively taking on the seller's debt because it's associated with the vehicle, and you could end up with no vehicle and no money. If someone sells a car that is a security item on another consumer credit contract, the buyer can also lose their money, because it might have been used as a security for a loan that has not been repaid. Not a loan for the car, but another loan. And so that other lending company also has the right to claim ownership and repossess the vehicle. You can try to claim back your money from the previous owner in that situation at the disputes tribunal under the Contract and Commercial Law Act. More about that later. But keep in mind that if the previous owner was not able to make the payments on the car in the first place, or, you know, pay back their loan in the first place or whatever, because, you know, they sold the car rather than paying it off, then they may not be able to repay you either. The other thing you can do to protect yourself is to check whether the vehicle was stolen on the police website. And that's, you go to the main police website, www.police.govt.nz, and then go to the tab or the menu, Can You Help Us? And then under that is stolen vehicles. So you can put in the number plate and use that tool to check if a vehicle has been reported as stolen and is on their database of stolen vehicles. And the data on that is refreshed hourly. But just remember that the data is a snapshot at that point in time, and it does not include vehicles that are stolen but not reported to them. It doesn't include stolen and reported, but they haven't yet updated the database. It will include stolen and reported but now recovered by their owners. So it won't show those. And it won't show... It won't include vehicles that are not registered with NZTA for use in New Zealand. The stolen vehicle data does not include lost or stolen registration plates. The next thing you can do to protect yourself is inspecting the vehicle. You should always check for mechanical problems like rust, worn brakes, tyres or shock absorbers, leaky exhaust, worn out engine, leaky radiator. So if you know a lot about cars, you can check these yourself. But it is absolutely well worth paying a mechanic or a specialist pre-purchase inspection service for an absolutely thorough mechanical check of the vehicle, so you know whether it is fit to drive on the road and about any potential problems you might have to deal with. And most garages provide a pre-purchase inspection service. And always ask to take the car for a test drive. But if you do, check that it's insured in case you have an accident during the test drive. Yes, and the next thing is you might wonder what legal protection you have if you do buy a car privately. As we already said, you have way less protection than when you buy from a registered dealer, because they're not covered. Yep, if you buy a car from a private individual or from a car market, which might be providing the venue for the private sellers but was not involved in the sale, then you are not covered by the laws that cover purchases from dealers. However, as mentioned earlier, you are covered against the seller's misrepresentation of the vehicle under the Contract and Commercial Law Act. You must be able to prove that misrepresentation caused you a loss. You're also covered by that act if the seller was not the legal owner of the vehicle when they were selling it. So if you have a problem with a vehicle you bought privately, you'd have to make a claim with the disputes tribunal. So the other thing is checking who owns a car, right? So how can you find out who the vehicle is registered to? Well, again, you can request a check of the motor vehicle register, which Waka Kotahi maintains. The register holds information about who is legally responsible for a particular motor vehicle, and as well as information about the vehicle itself. And you can apply online for the registered person's name and address on the Waka Kotahi website. Forms called MR31. You will need the vehicle's number plate, the make and model, some proof of your identity, and a payment card, because there's a fee of $15. But the thing here is that Waka Kotahi will decide whether to give you the information. You know, because the information on the motor vehicle register includes personal information, they will decide on a case-by-case basis whether to give you the information you apply for. And their decision is based on why you want the information and any evidence you have to back up your reason, whether there is another way for you to get the information, what you will use the information for. You know, like, for example, so that you can apply to the disputes tribunal or make a claim. If you do not have evidence for why you need the name of the registered owner, you can make a statutory declaration. If you need the information, you know, to pursue the civil dispute, like in disputes, that's what you'd have to do. And a stat deck will be a statutory declaration would include your name, contact details, details about any incident, what happened, and what you intend to do with the information. And you also have to agree in writing that you will only use the personal information for the purpose you need it, for example, to lodge your claim at the disputes, and that you will not share or use the personal information for any other reason. So because that personal information is protected by privacy laws, your application may be declined. And it always depends on who's asking it for or why they need it. They won't be able to tell you if your application will be declined before you submit it, because each request for information is obviously different and it's all done on a case-by-case basis. But they can tell you that your application will most likely be declined unless you provide some exceptional evidence showing a good reason for needing the information. And it fits the legislative criteria that we just said above. You know, so for example, your application is likely to be declined if you see a vehicle you like and you want to approach the owner to make an offer to buy it. You know, they're not going to give you that information for that sort of reason. Yeah, so another issue we're seeing affecting the community is the cost of car insurance. So, you know, I guess a little bit about insurance. Obviously, insurance can protect you against financial loss when something unexpected happens. And if you have insurance, then clearly the risk of financial loss from those sort of events, you know, goes to your insurer rather than you yourself. And you pay for insurance to protect or cover you from the costs associated with unexpected events that cause this financial loss. You know, so if you're insured, like in a car accident, you can receive all or part of the amount of money that was lost. Another term you might hear about is a premium, and the premium is what you pay for your insurance cover. In return for receiving your premium, the insurer agrees to accept the risk of covering your financial loss if one or more specific events occurs. The insurance contract is called a policy and is the legally binding agreement that you have with your insurer, and it is usually for a term of 1 year. And it's made up of three parts: a statement describing exactly what is covered by the insurance company, for example, the registration number of the vehicle to be insured, and the level of cover that is going to apply. You know, for example, with a vehicle, it's going to be third party or comprehensive, which we're going to talk about soon. It's going to have your personal details, and you're going to have to answer questions, which help the insurer assess your risk. And that, you know, your personal history, like if you've had lots of car crashes, that might affect the agreement, or how many claims you've made in the past, or if you've got a criminal record. The policy document details exactly what compensation is available under the policy and exact circumstances, you know, when it will be available. It's really important that you understand the terms of your policy and how your cover is provided, because it's a binding contract. So anything you're not unsure about, you need to ask the company to explain to you. Both parties must work in utmost good faith and honour the policy conditions, and you also have you know, any information you give your insurer must be truthful to the best of your knowledge, and the same applies to them. And you have to tell them any relevant information that could affect their assessment of your insurance risk. And not giving your insurer that information when you're supposed to can result in them rejecting your insurance claim or even cancelling your insurance. So whether you can get insurance and how much it will cost will mostly depend on how likely you are to make a claim. How much you pay for your car insurance is affected by the cover you have, whether the vehicle is insured for market value or agreed value, make and model, average cost of claims, the age of your car, whether you live in an area with higher risk of car accidents, etc. However, you may be able to save on the cost of your insurance by checking whether you are eligible for any discounts. If you bought your car using a Good Shepherd loan, which is an interest-free loan, but cannot afford or cannot get vehicle insurance, you may be eligible for a low-cost comprehensive car insurance policy from the insurer, Vero. It's called Drive is low-cost car insurance. Sorry, it's called Drive and it's low-cost car insurance. So they partnered up with them to get that. Things you should consider when if you're just generally looking at car insurance. So the three types are third-party only, third-party fire and theft, and comprehensive. So, and they, you know, the excess, all types of insurance require you to pay an excess when you claim. Excess is the portion of the claim amount that you have to pay, which they impose to offset the risk or to give you the option of paying a lower premium. So you can choose to have a higher excess on a policy to reduce the amount of your insurance premium. Drivers under 25 of age normally have a higher excess on their vehicle insurance, as do inexperienced drivers and those on learner or restricted licenses. So third party only is vehicle insurance that covers you for the cost of any damage your vehicle does to another person's vehicle. It's the cheapest type of vehicle insurance, but it does not cover damage that someone else does to your vehicle, even if they were at fault. Okay, then there's third-party fire and theft, which will cover you for damage you do, your vehicle does to another person's vehicle or property, if your vehicle is stolen and if your vehicle is destroyed by fire. And comprehensive vehicle insurance usually covers damage that your vehicle does to another person's vehicle or property, damage that another person does to your vehicle, and also loss of your vehicle due to theft or fire. It may also cover the costs involved in moving your car to a repair from the scene of an accident. So when you get comprehensive insurance, you've got to decide whether you are insuring for an agreed value or market value. So the agreed value is adjusted each year for depreciation. And market value, say if you insure the vehicle market value and it is stolen or written off, you will receive an amount equal to the car's market value just before the damage or loss occurred, or the sum insured, whichever is the lesser. And the sum insured is based on the value of the vehicle when you first took out the insurance policy. Both market value and agreed value tend to decrease over time since the insured vehicle depreciates as it ages. So we discussed earlier, but again, the excess is the amount you must pay when you make an insurance claim. If you choose a higher excess, you can reduce the amount of your insurance premium. Tell your insurer everything that might influence your insurance. It's important to tell the insurer, you know, anything that could influence whether they accept a claim. You know, an insurer would expect you to disclose things like the condition of the vehicle, any modifications that have been made to the vehicle, your driving history, who will be the main driver, and who else will be driving the vehicle. So always check the conditions of your insurance cover. And be aware that if you were driving in breach of your driver license, any claim you lodge after an accident may be rejected. For example, if you're on a restricted license and you have an accident while driving after 10 p.m., and your insurance policy says that you must not be in breach of your license conditions, then your insurer could reject your claim and refuse to insure you on the grounds that you were in breach of your insurance Lastly, it is really important to shop around. So ask a few insurance companies to give you a quote and check the policy, etc., to compare costs and what is covered before you sign up with anyone. When thinking about and getting insurance, it's also very important to ask the insurer about, you know, exactly what will be insured, for how much, and in what circumstances you can claim. What, if anything, is exempt from the policy cover? Whether anything covered by a particular policy provides is duplicated by cover from an insurance policy you already have, so you're not, you know, getting more than you need or that you're already covered for. You know, ask what kind of proof you'll need to provide when you make a claim. Ask what kinds of information you must give them when you draw up the policy, like if you are getting help, you know, yeah, just all the information they need. It's just good to ask more questions than not, especially if you're unsure about what, you know, if you're new to insurance. Under what circumstances the policy can be cancelled, either by you or by the insurance provider, and any terms or clauses in the policy document that you do not understand. It's a really good idea to get their explanation in writing, you know, in case there's a dispute about it in the future rather than just verbally. So, yeah, we have a number of articles on our website, www.cab.org.nz, relating to the information that we've shared with you tonight, such as how should I go about getting an insurance policy? Can I claim on my vehicle insurance if I was in breach of my driver's license conditions when I had the accident? What is an insurance contract? What factors affect how much I pay for my insurance premiums? Another article is how does insurance work? Another one is when would I have to pay an insurance excess and how do I pay it? And, you know, like I talked about having to write a statutory declaration earlier, we've also got an article that on that. What is an affidavit? What is a statutory declaration? So if you need help with anything we've discussed or any other issue, we're here to help you. And you can contact us. You can call us directly here in Dunedin on 03471 6166, or you can call the nationwide free phone 0800 367 222, but just be aware that that might be answered anywhere else in the country. Although you can say to someone, I'm in Dunedin, can you please call Dunedin and get them to call me? It's perfectly fine to ask another cab to do that for you if you don't have data or something on your phone, you can't call us, or you don't have, sorry, phone minutes. You can email cab via the website online inquiry, www.cab.org.nz, under find a cab and then contact us. You can call in at 155 Princes Street. If you're going to drop in, best times of the start of a shift, like 10:30 in the morning or 1:30 in the afternoon, Monday to Thursday, just so we have plenty of time to help you. And just be remember that Friday we're only open 10 till 1. So we close sharply at 1. So if you're going to drop in on a Friday, it's better to come before 12. So, yeah, basically we're here to help you know and understand and exercise your rights and obligations under the law here in New Zealand, how do you resolve your issues or anything else you might need help with. But our help and advice is free, independent, confidential, and will help anyone about anything. This Resettling in Aotearoa with CAB show plays on the second Wednesday of the month at 8:30 p.m. and then the following Thursday at 1 p.m. on OAR FM 105.4 FM. And the episodes are also available on podcast, www.oar.org.nz/shows/resettling in Aotearoa. They have heaps of really good podcasts about many things. If you enjoyed this show tonight and found the information helpful, please share our show and the podcast with friends, whānau, and workmates. Ngā mihi ki a koe for tuning in this evening. Kia pai te pō. Have a great evening.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.